Well, the lunch lull has kicked in, I'm sure. I promise to try to keep you awake. As you can probably tell, I'm a little under the weather. So just to get a quick query, how many of you all are in a university setting? Just raise your hand real quick. Okay. Medical facility in any of any sort? Okay. And how many of you all are familiar with motivational interviewing? Just blanket. Very good. Okay. And physical medicine and rehab. So physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, all familiar with that. Very good. So this is kind of a cancellation of work that I've done over the last couple of years between my dissertation as well as my doctoral residency, just trying to find the best way to train professionally medical students as well as healthcare practitioners on how to incorporate motivational interviewing in their daily healthcare practice. What is one of the things we all run into with any type of education? We're here. We're at ACHA. We've been here since Saturday. Tomorrow's the last day. And what did you have to do to get here? You had to take time out of your schedule, right? You had to take time off work, make arrangements. And so technology, as these two wonderful presenters have shown us, is a really time-efficient and cost-effective way for us to train not only healthcare professionals, but those who will be future representatives within the public health field. Have any financial disclosures? I'll be talking about a couple of different apps that are on the market, but I don't have any stock in them, and I'm not getting rich off of any of it. So, what are our learning outcomes? Well, I want to just briefly go over what MI is. I think you all know, based on my query, have some familiarity with it. We won't spend a lot of time on it. The purpose of the presentation is to show you the methodology by which MI was incorporated in this healthcare provider training, explain the utility and function, and give you some insight as to how these providers built the program with. And finally, again, looking at the specific application that was applied to facilitate their learning about MI, their healthcare documentation, and the changes with ACA as well as the ICD-10 code changes. So we'll get through all of the boring part. We always want to look at our literature. We want to know what is MI, how does it relate to this particular topic? We have lots and lots of research, literature that substantiates the need for counseling. There are different styles. Some are in health psychology. Others are more in the fields of nursing and just general medicine. Overall, we find that there is some utility for MI within the setting in which I'm working, which is physical medicine and rehab. Why? Because our parents, and I say parents because I work at a pediatric hospital, they have to make decisions for their children. And a lot of times they're afraid and they don't know what their options are. And so MI is a really nice way to engage our parents about their child's health care, including some goal-oriented and patient-centered norms that I think any provider would want to have when they're speaking with a family of a child with a special health care need. So again, as we are all well aware, there have been a lot of service delivery model changes, mostly in the area of insurance. And in my field, it has changed quite a bit in terms of how we're documenting our patient outcomes and our education of the different goals and objectives that we have for our pediatric population. In order to effectively train anyone in MI, the literature is very clear that we want something that is going to be consistent, frequent, and has a variety of learning opportunities. So with that said, this particular program wanted to encapsulate the use of MI in concert with the Affordable Care Act provisions to increase the scope of practice that these healthcare practitioners currently we're involved in on a daily basis. Now, in terms of counseling and speech pathology, as you probably know, MI came out of the field of addictive behaviors. It has since kind of moved more towards chronic disease. I had the opportunity to do my doctoral dissertation working with Joint Commission certified obesity, obstructive sleep apnea, as well as obesity programs. And overall, the literature is pretty thorough in terms of showing that MI is a useful model across different languages and different disease processes. So what did we do? I wanted, again, this project, this training program, to be multimodal, and I collaborated with my employer, Children's Medical Center, as well as my certifying governing body, the American Speech Language Hearing Association. It was a leadership program that was a year-long program, meaning pro bono, and I was able to spend during monthly staff meetings, the different methodologies, resources, MI evidence-based materials to increase and enhance the current plan of care that these healthcare providers were facilitating within the physical medicine and rehabilitation department. Here's a very quick video of Cook Children's and what we do there. Okay, so let's get into the nuts and bolts of the actual project. Again, it was a year-long training program where speech pathologists were provided with different materials. If you're familiar with motivation interviewing, all of these little alphabet soup letters and things that you see within the month-by-month dose of training are tools that I felt were appropriate to the patient-provider encounter for a therapist. The other part of this that I want you to see is that across the months of training, each SLP speech language pathologist or assistant, they had the opportunity to provide me with feedback. Because the point of the training wasn't just a one-way, okay, will this work, like a research project, pre and post. The point of the project was to see if it was feasible and if it was meeting their needs. And if there were any changes that needed to be made, we had two additional opportunities throughout that program to implement and modify as needed. The family survey feedback was already a standing model that Cook Children's has, and so that was a form that I actually didn't have to create, which was nice. So again, through the staff meetings, emails, the web-based learning system that we'll briefly go over, these speech pathologists, or otherwise known as HCPs, were given the opportunity throughout this year-long process to learn about MI and how it incorporates into their family counseling and education and training for families whose children had a communicative impairment with an ICD-10 code as a secondary diagnosis. So there were situations where these were children who had OCD, obstructive COPD, they had different concomitant health issues going on, and a secondary diagnosis could have been autism, stuttering, dysphagia, you name it, anything under the sun. And let me just clarify the setting in which this project was administered. We have inpatient, outpatient, as well as home health, and I felt that this would be the best venue to implement this would be home health, because this is where the provider is actually going into the patient's home and interacting the most with the family and looking at whether or not the recommendations that the primary had made, which led to the specialty referral for physical or speech and or occupational therapy, if they're actually implementing what has been asked of them in the home setting. They were also given evidence-based templates on how to document these interactions. So, you know, your decisional balance matrix, your confidence rulers, all of those things that we use in MIA every day, I kind of just tailored it to the physical medicine and rehabilitation's needs. I'd love to get more in depth about what those look like, but that's another presentation. We'll be able to cover that in 20 minutes. So again, the focus was to get the evidence-based resources, taking into account that this particular hospital had just spent $1.2 million on upgrading their electronic medical record system, so they were not in any shape, form, or fashion open to funding an application, which after a lot of research would have cost about $15,000 to just develop an application. So again, looking at these key components in our health management and policy fields about what is efficacious, cost-effective, cost-benefit for the family, and contains the cost of the facility, which in this situation was Cook's. This is a very quick schematic of what my expectation was, just looking through the survey, what the current training needs were, who knew about MI, who didn't, through a very quick survey at the very onset of the training, and then providing assessment and observation as needed, and of course providing that training throughout the year-long program and utilizing their feedback to modify the program, the training program as needed, and then reassessing at the very end of the program, which ended in June of this year. So this is the web-based application learning system that I found was very cost effective. And essentially what happens is you load, there's a learner page, and this is just kind of a screenshot of what the learner, the speech pathologist would see. It offers a transcript and resources, and all of those resources came in a variety of ways. There were times at the staff meeting where I would just play a quick audio of, say, a brief excerpt on what MI is using the decisional balance matrix with a family member. So it really facilitated a lot of modalities. The web-based application itself facilitated a lot of modalities to place these questionnaires. So I don't have a pointer, but in any case, the learner was able to review all of the different surveys that they were asked to fill out, and it kept them abreast of all of the different status points at which they had completed or not completed certain aspects of the training program. For the leadership development program, I took the time to go ahead and get clearance from our state board for the healthcare providers to get credit. Because again, I was asking them to take time out of their schedule and participate in this particular program. And that was a bit of an incentive because, again, most healthcare professionals don't have a lot of time to take out of their schedule to attend a professional conference such as this. So this was kind of an on-site methodology by which they could gain 1 hour of continuing education. So again, this is what the learner is seeing. The speech pathologist, they click onto this program, they're assigned a login, a username and password, and it explains the purpose of the program, what they're going to be asked to do, and what they expect to learn. Excuse me. If there were any issues that came up after they logged in, they could actually email me, and it would generate a query. And that would allow me to go in and make any changes. But let's say they weren't able to pull up an audio within the web-based application. Well, the application would let me know, and then I would be able to troubleshoot from there. So again, these are some of the attachments that I uploaded to the web-based platform, and the therapists were able to click on each one of these as needed at any point in time. Now, as far as recruitment and retention are concerned, this isn't a research project. So the point of the web-based application was not only to address the frequency and intensity of the training, but also to capture those new therapists that came on who were recent hires that may not have been at the onset of the training. They still got the same amount of information. They just may have gotten it later into the program. So again, you're able to load up interactive PowerPoints, audios, YouTubes, PDFs, you name it. So for the staff, the actual staff meetings, which are held monthly, we were able to, I was able to incorporate all of these familiar materials that I'm sure you're aware of that gives a little more in-depth information and interactive practice for the speech pathologist to learn more about motivational interviewing. As an administrator, I was able to go in and assign content, which we just discussed, monitor learning performance, so it would tell me who completed what, when, and where, and how, and evaluate the survey, which you'll see, and also issue certificates of completion. So these are three surveys that would pop up on the learner profile, and this would be just a quick intro blurb as to what they needed to do in order to complete each survey. The quiz did require 80% for them to pass, and they would get a transcript. So this is just a copy, like an example of what I would see as the administrator, that I completed the project, the training. It took me I logged in 27 times. My last login time was November the 1st. So initial results, how are we doing on time? Okay. So initial results, again, at the beginning of the program, a lot of therapists, they weren't confident about MI. They didn't know what it was. They didn't think they could really use it to affect health behavior change. And 14% stated that they did use it in their patient encounters. But I think overall, in terms of the usefulness or the need to implement MI, based on the initial survey results, it was very evident that this was something that they felt they needed and that they were interested in. Again, half of the therapists felt that they saw a need to use MI to facilitate behavior change in their patients, and overall they felt like it was a feasible and useful training. So that was kind of encouraging. We moved through, again, months and months of staff meetings and uploads of different materials, interactive materials, web-based materials, and final results for the self-assessment, which again is just basically personal demographic information. How long have you been a therapist? What do you know about MI? How can I help you? Some open-ended questions. This is a screenshot, so don't freak out if you can't see it. But the whole point of this screenshot is just to show you that as an administrator, this web-based system would allow me, it gave me data of how many completed the survey, when was the first login, the last login, and the average number of minutes it took them to complete the survey. So again, these were more, I feel motivational interviewing is a good tool to use with my patient encounters. Strongly agree, agree, neutral, disagree, don't know. And these are surveys that I created in Word and then uploaded to the web-based application. Some final results for the motivational interviewing quiz was 60% correctly identified what MI was, 100% effectively chose or correctly chose what clinical confidence was within their practice. 100% were able to identify the importance of how to incorporate empathy. Another quiz question was, patients who are non-compliant with feeding recommendations should be discharged immediately. This is a very important point that we'll talk about a little bit later. Healthcare is changing to where they're looking very closely at how you're educating your parents and whether or not they're repeating, they're readmitting for certain healthcare issues. And if that is the case, the insurance is not going to reimburse. And so it's very important that we document when there's a series of non-compliance events and how we have tried to remediate that, whether it be the decisional balance matrix or a confidence ruler, et cetera. So as you can see overall, the therapist did very well in terms of correctly answering the quiz. And again, they took the quiz at the beginning and at the end, but they didn't see the results at the beginning. So even though they had similar questions, they weren't able to copy and paste. Again, this is just a quick screenshot of the needs assessment. So we'll flip through here really quickly because I just wanted you to be able to see what the output of the web-based application looks like versus the actual content, which is a whole other presentation. We'll go quickly through those. Okay, so discussion. And this is where we'll get to talk a little bit more about how ACA is affecting speech pathology and physical medicine and rehab as a whole. I really wanted to utilize this project as a way to complement the different recruitment and retention efforts that are being made to address the healthcare shortage. It's great we all have access to healthcare, but we still have a lot of issues with provider shortages. And so wanting to utilize evidence-based, web-based application of motivational interviewing to kind of help the local universities that are fielding these therapists into our facilities for externships, fellowships, as well as jobs, really wanting to give them better insight into how they can incorporate MI into their university curriculum. We have national outcomes that are in concert with the insurance regulations that we reduce the number of hospital stays and enhance our role with coordination of care with other healthcare providers to reduce ER visits. All of this is going to be very important because, again, in the pediatric setting, you're working with the family, not necessarily an adult patient. So motivation is going to be a key factor in making sure that we have successful healthcare outcomes. So again, I think I've already elaborated on supervision and clinical competency in the university setting, as well as the residency setting where hospitals offer residency, and offering a way to address shortages, but dealing with the healthcare changes on how we clinically document our education, and that it not just be a subjective thing, but that we have the evidence from Rolnick and Miller to substantiate that we've really walked our family members through what patient adherence and compliance looks like and what the expectation is for them. So I think I've come to the conclusion of my presentation, and I appreciate your listening ear. Any questions?